We have very little idea about what most people in the Bible look like. Saul was a handsome man, and as handsome a man as could be found in anywhere in Israel, and he was a head above everyone else. Elisha was bald, we know that, and Jacob's son Esau was a hairy man. Imagine going down in history, and the one thing that's known about you is you are a hairy man. Today it would be a great opportunity for those companies who raise charity funds by doing strip waxing. Anyway, today we're looking at another biblical character where you could make a reasonable stab at drawing them. Samson is who we're looking at, or at least the birth of it. And today we've got a slight variation on the themes I seem to have been preaching about for ages. This time, it's not the kings who've done great evil in the sight of the Lord. It's more of a team effort. Okay? And again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered him to the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, as we know, 40 years is often shorthand for a very long time. And what is a long time? Well, certainly when I was Eden's age, eternity felt like shopping for curtains with my mother on a Saturday afternoon. It just went on for forever. But it probably covers the passing away of at least one generation and possibly two. And we've seen this before with the Egyptians, who made the Israelites slaves for several generations, or indeed the Babylonians afterwards, who took most of the Israelites away to Babylon for about 70 years. And all of this might look like ancient history to us sitting here in this comfy church. We take it for granted that we're allowed to vote for the people who lead us. But in terms of historical times, democracy is just a little blip. If you went back less than 100 years ago, women under the age of 30 still would not be able to vote. And if we take it for granted, then we're fools to assume it's always going to be there. Or indeed, we're fools to assume that it's other people's responsibility to preserve it. Or indeed, possibly more controversially, that democracy is the best form of government. Now, we'll only work out what is the best form of government when we pass to heaven and we see how things should really be done when it comes to ruling us. The rule of the Philistines, though, came about because of disobedience of the Israelites. They refused to follow God's word after they'd gone into the promised land. They mixed with the other people there, they intermarried, and they started to follow false gods. And it's a message for us, and it's easy to see the appeal of mixing with other faith groups. Now, there are always times when we all want to come together as a community to express joy or grief, and that's perfectly reasonable, but that's a world of difference between that and going to services where you've got different faith groups all praying to their own God. That is confusion. Anyway, once again, the people of Israel are in a pickle. Judges 13 is about the birth of a son who will save Israelites from the Philistines. And there's an obvious parallel here to Jesus. The mother here is one of a select group of mothers who've been told in advance that God, that they're going to have a child. Sarah was told that she was going to have Isaac. Elizabeth was told she was going to have John the Baptist. And Hannah was told she was going to have Samuel. And Mary was told that she was going to have Jesus. All told in advance. It's also important to note which family Samson was born into. He was born into the tribe of Dan. Dan signifies judgment or justice. And it goes all the way back to Jacob and Rachel. And there's a couple you'd never learned a five or two, isn't it? Anyway, in Genesis 30, verse 4, it says, "So she gave her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant for him a son. And then Rachel said, 'God has vindicated me. He's listened to my plea and given me a son.' And because of this, she named him Dan." And then in Genesis 49, verse 16, "Dan will provide justice for his people as one of the tribes of Israel." So here we are, a childless couple from an obscure part of Israel, a member of the tribe of Dan. And it's another case of parents being kept waiting to have children. Same with Samuel, they had to wait for Samuel, had to wait for John the Baptist and Isaac. And the mother here is unnamed. Isn't it odd when you become a parent where suddenly you lose your name? Oh, you're Zion's mother, or you're Kate's mother, or you're Sam's dad, or you're James's dad. You suddenly lose your name. But the wife here, whose name we don't know, is the key person. And she was the one that the angel appeared to and gave the message. "You're barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. The boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. You will have a baby, and what's more, he's going to be a Nazarite." That's quite a message to somebody who's been trying for a baby for quite a while. A Nazarite, being a Nazarite, is described in Numbers 6 when God spoke to Moses. "Speak unto the people of Israel and say unto them, whether either a man or a woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from strong drink and shall drink no vinegar or wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried." Well, there you go. Weetabix for Samsung breakfast, no muesli, because that's got raisins in it. And the angel tells the wife that she has an important part to play apart from giving birth. She gets the instructions. "Now then, drink no wine or fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclear, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb." It's not just Samson who has to abstain from wine and fermented drink. It's also the mother who's carrying him before conception, before she's pregnant. And here we have an obscure passage of scripture, and we have wisdom that relates to some of the debates that we're having today. Women should not drink alcohol or smoke whilst they're expecting a baby, and preferably not beforehand. But also, Samson was created in the womb and is being prepared for service from the very start of conception. From day one, Samson is a creation of God being prepared to serve. Not from 24 weeks, as the current abortion laws say in the UK. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, of course, this is a message to Jeremiah, this one, but it's also true of Samson. Now, being the parent of a boy who was going to save Israel was quite a responsibility. So Manoah prayed to the God, requesting that the angel comes back and gives them instructions. And some people reading this passage also have the suspicion that he was doubting what his wife was saying. I'll leave you to read that and work it out for yourself. But again, you see, the angel did not appear to the man, but again to his wife, who then had to get a husband. And when she told Manoah that the angel had appeared, he didn't take his word for it. He had to ask, "Are you the man who talked to my wife?" You can almost imagine his wife standing in the background, rolling her eyes at this. Anne, I think he hadn't been properly trained. Anyway, so the angel explains to Manoah what is going on and what's going to happen. And this is great news. This is fantastic. What an honour. Manoah says to the angel, "Lord, we would like you to stay until we prepared a young goat for you." Traditional hospitality. And the angel of the Lord said, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." And then the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel ascended in the flame. And seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. And then, to cap it all, Manoah sees the fire and he goes into headless chicken mode. This man isn't coming out of this particular story particularly well, is he? Manoah realised it was the angel Lord. He said, "We are doomed to die," he said. "We've seen God." And it took the logical approach of his wife to calm him down. If the Lord had meant us to be to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown all of us the things that he has told us. You'd kind of like to be a fly on the wall of that relationship going on, because if he's capable of doing that sort of thing, who knows what he's capable of doing. The faith of women have been the bedrock of so many churches over the years. Calm, thoughtful, deliberate, intuitive. And God chose an obscure town in Israel for the birth of Samson. So obscure that most people would not have heard the news of Samson's mission or his birth. But just because we don't hear of all the news of what God is doing doesn't mean to say it's not happening. The people of Israel had been ignorant of Samson for the first few years of his life, but became very grateful afterwards for his miraculous strength. Samson was a Nazarite who was there to be separated and separate unto the Lord. How do we sanctify ourselves and keep ourselves pure for the Lord? Look out at the soil in your gardens this spring. Flowers and weeds growing up together, all the same if it goes untended. Let us be aware of our responsibilities we have to further the kingdom of God by keeping ourselves pure for God. And let us all thank him for mothers. Amen. Now we're going to finish by singing "My Lips Shall Praise You."